Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
Hi, I'm Yui Shu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchick.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the Dateable Podcast.
Hey, hey. We're so excited to be back.
Are you excited, Julie? Are you ever not excited?
I'm always excited to be back.
Yeah, I want to hear a week where you're like, I fucking don't want to be here. Oh, you're, I'm so not
you're
excited.
You're going to know shit is in bad shape when I'm like, hi, guys.
Seriously.
Things are not good over here.
Yeah, that's when we're not going to do this podcast and I'm going to make a house call. Something is seriously up. But I know you're extra excited because we're headed to South by Southwest week. This is our favorite event. I don't know. I'm speaking for us.
But keep speaking for us.
I will just speak for myself.
I co-sign it all.
Legit, our favorite event of the year. I don't even know how you would describe it. It's like half conference, music festival, film festival, networking, extravaganza.
It sounds kind of weird in some ways. It's a conference. Like, I was talking to a friend that is actually going for work and she was kind of pissed because she's like, ugh, I have to go on a Saturday to this conference. And I was like, no, you're so lucky that you're going to this conference. You don't even understand. But then I was like, oh, I kind of get what she's saying. It's like working on the weekend. Yeah. I think for us though, because it feels so like in line with our passions and, you know, it just feels like you're kind of like at the cutting edge of things. So for us, it is like Disneyland. I think you've said that before and I agree on that.
I feel like South By needs a rebrand. It's not a conference because that sounds so stale.
Yeah.
It's not a festival. I don't know. It needs a different word. But I remember when I was trying to sell you on it the first year, you were like, yeah, I'll go try it, see what it's about. But this sounds pretty corporate to me.
Yeah.
And I think by day two, you were like, I'm sold.
Oh my God. At the end, I remember you. I was like, I am so happy right now. This is the best week.
Yes.
And you know what it is too? It's like people always complain, like you can't meet people in real life anymore. There's something about this event that makes everyone so friendly, so approachable.
Yes.
We talked to so many new people that year. Remember like how many new people we interacted with?
So many.
I was like, I've literally interacted with more people in this one week than the last year.
We met Tim Ferriss last year, just hanging out at a restaurant. We took a photo with him. That was a major win. This year, Jay Shetty's going to be there. Brené Brown, Esther Perel. I mean, these are just big names, not just in entertainment, but they're also like in self-help and self-improvement in all those areas. And have you noticed the theme this year is very much on two tracks? One is AI, not surprising, and the other is psychedelics.
I know. There's really no way to describe this, but my partner was so excited that he went last year and I didn't know how he was gonna take to it, right? Because he didn't really want to go to like the conference. And he didn't even go to the conference all that much, but he did love like the movies, the music, like all that element of it. And just the vibe, the whole vibe.
Do I need to remind you the highlight of his trip was the hug machine?
I don't know if highlight is the word, but yes.
It was a highlight for me, for him. He got to try out this machine that hugs you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like meant for people that are lonely when they're older. And it's actually like it has a really good intention. It's meant for like people that are in like retirement homes that they don't have people that are constantly hugging them. And I think our listeners know, especially if you're single over the pandemic, sometimes you just need a hug. Sometimes you need that hug. So this machine gave you the hug. That being said, I'm not sure if he was like, this is exactly apples to apples of a real life hug. And they were like taking photos of him. And I'm just like, I see the headline right now. And Shadira needs a hug.
Engineer from SF gets a hug for the first time this year.
So, yeah, there was some interesting stuff, but something for everyone here.
Yeah, there's like, I always forget there's that tech aspect too. So it's got a little bit of CES, a little bit of Coachella, a little bit of any of the film festivals, all mixed up into one, and a little bit of like Tony Robbins sprinkled in.
For anyone that doesn't remember this story, one of the highlights for me last year is when I learned some secrets about UA.
Oh, that's right. My other identity.
We ran into UA's old coworker from like what, like a couple decades ago, like someone from like when you lived in New York. And he didn't remember UA's name fully because it turned out she had used a fake name. And then the weirder part was it turns out that her ex-boyfriend of 5 years knew her by that name for how many of the years that you dated? At least like 3? Wasn't it something like
that? Yeah. Yeah. He didn't know till like halfway through our 5-year relationship.
I was just like, what is happening right now?
And it's one of those moments like when you get caught cheating or something, you just have to be like, fess up. Fess up.
Would it start as like a test to get jobs, like based on your name, right? Wasn't it something like that?
Yes. I wanted to test name discrimination because the job market was so difficult when I graduated from college. I wasn't getting callbacks. My resume was circulating with my real name. So I had this thought, like, why don't I try 2 other names? One is Tiffany, just to make it sound super cheerful and young. And another name was Dahlia, which is like part of the name of the street I grew up on. And the name Dahlia was the one that got the most callbacks. Same exact resume, just 3 different names. And the job I ended up taking hired me as Dahlia.
I just can't get over the reveal. Like, you didn't even reveal it to your coworkers, right? To like after you left. I guess in that case, you gotta like live the lie. But your partner, like, when were you just like, by the way, my name's UA. Sorry, you thought my name was Dahlia for the last 3 years.
It's so hard to keep a lie straight. It's so hard. I just thought, because, you know, I was living in Bumblefuck, Connecticut. I was like, I'm not going to be here that long. I'm just going to date for fun. I didn't think this was going to be my partner for 5 years. And turns out we ended up living together and fell in love, and he met all my coworkers. So I was like, oh shit, if my coworkers call me Dahlia.
Oh my God.
He's got to know me as Dahlia. So everything's got to align. But when we go back to my parents' house, they're going to call me by my real name. And I'm just going to have to say, that's my Chinese name. You know, we're Chinese. That makes perfect sense, right? They call me a different name. So all of it made sense up until I told him my real name. And he's like, all right, well, I'm in now. He's like, I can't change what I call you now. It's been 3.5 years.
I'm so glad you didn't get married to this person. Not because I know him in any way, but just because you would have had to keep this up forever. Okay, guys, this is proof of why you don't lie on your dating profile. It becomes way more than you bargained for.
Yeah, that relationship was doomed from Dahlia. Yep.
So, yeah, that was my favorite moment of South by Southwest. I'm just like, what is happening right now?
Well, you know, you're going to learn so much more this year.
Let's see what else comes to light. I cannot wait to report back in a couple weeks what other things I find out about UA.
Julie's going to be like, I found out she's really 58. Like, she's been lying about her age.
I'll let you know right now, I have no secrets for you to find out.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see about that.
Well. Yeah. We could definitely talk about this all day, but we are really excited for this week's episode because we have a return guest with us. We have Vince Hsu, who is, I guess, in the topic of keeping the names. Not related to UA, but we had him back. We had him on the podcast season 15. Episode 5, The One That Got Away, which was based on his first reality TV stint, the Amazon show, The One That Got Away. And then we saw him pop up. We've been staying in touch with him on Instagram. We see him pop up that he is now on Fuckboy Island. And we were just like, what is happening right
quite
now?
Quite a switch.
But, you know, if you listen to that episode, you could see that he is like the quintessential nice guy. And that term, we're going to go into it and debate it. But he wasn't a fuckboy by any means. So we definitely want to have him back for this episode and, you know, go into this a little more.
And the question we're trying to solve here is, do nice guys finish last?
Yeah, this certainly wasn't the case on Fuckboy Island this season. So we'll get into it in much more depth with Vince. But I want to hear your thoughts on this question. But before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets, ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Via Hemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Via gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Via also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Via Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Via Hemp. So nice guys finish last. I feel like this has been a dating myth for a very long time, and this has kind of fucked men in a way. It's probably brought on this fuckboy mentality, or I can't be too nice because I won't get the girl and all this stuff. What's your take on this?
Every pickup artist out there, and if you're too young to know what pickup artists yes. are, because we realize many of you are too young to know.
It's a good thing.
This is a cohort of men who taught other men on how to trick women into sleeping with them or at least going on dates with them by doing all kinds of really disgusting behavior, like nagging them, which is like saying something negative about the woman and for her to try to redeem her, or other ways of like being an asshole so that she sees you more as a guy to covet instead of a guy, like a guy that's too nice that she can take advantage of. So I feel like every pickup artist has always been like, don't be too nice. If you're too nice, you're going to get run over by women, you're going to get taken advantage of, and you're never going to sleep with anybody. And I think that's been ingrained in all of us is to say like being nice equals not getting any action.
Yeah. Which is bullshit. Because at the end of the day, like most of us want someone who is nice deep down. I think it's the word nice. Like, why does it have to be a fuckboy or nice? And what it, like you said, the way that, you know, it's been kind of drilled in the messaging, it makes you feel nice equals meek. Like they're not someone that's going to take action, take initiative. And I think that person, yes, they might finish last because they don't make their intentions known. They don't actually go after what they're looking looking for. But I also feel like just correlating it to like your, you know, like your character at the end of the day, like that's not a good comparison point.
I do remember dating a nice guy in my 20s because everybody labeled him as the nice guy. And when I look back on it, he was a nice, he was just complacent.
Yeah.
He was a guy that was agreeable.
Right.
You know, like he never initiated or was proactive, but he was agreeable. He asked me out on the next date, which I still had to plan. Mm. He was nice. Everybody was like, oh, he's so nice. Look at him, like being with you, spending time with you, introducing you to his friends. Look at him treating you to these meals. And I remember being like, why can't I get into this guy? If he's like the quintessential nice guy. And I realized it's because he didn't know what he wanted. He was just agreeable and was along for the ride, the UA ride.
Also, what you're describing is kind of the bare minimum. Like he's there for dates. He's showing up. It's like, if he's not doing that, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Right? I don't think that needs to be the definition of a nice guy. But I agree. It's because also as women, there has been this messaging of like the asshole, right? Which is what you were talking about from pickup communities. And we start to like take any crumb as this big gesture and sign that someone is the best partner ever instead of just looking at it and being like, this is the basics.
Yes. Yes. And it's just like, do you really want to be tricking someone into liking you? That's kind of the question. Is like, on one hand, you don't want to be run over and taken advantage of. On the other hand, do you really want to employ all these tactics so a girl is like, oh, I think I like you now? Like, don't you want someone to just genuinely like you?
Yeah, I think there's some of it does come with, you know, maturity and realizing the definition of love. Yeah. Because I wouldn't necessarily say, like, I think my partner today is a nice guy. Absolutely. I don't think I would have used that language when meeting him. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the stuff that drew me to him, like the consistency, the availability, the wanting to commit, like the stuff that made him a good partner, maybe in the past, that wouldn't have been as exciting as never knowing when I'll hear from them next. Or, you know, like maybe the passion that comes from someone that's not as mm-hmm. open and clear about what they're looking for. So I think the shift of definition made me appreciate the qualities of maybe a nice guy more than when you're comparing them to like someone that's a fuckboy at the polar extreme.
Yeah. It's like, what is the bare minimum? And then what is in line with what your values are? There's a huge difference there. And we can't settle just for the bare minimum, but we also have to know what we're looking for. A lot of this is a two-way street. The reason why the pickup community worked was because they preyed on women with self-esteem mm-hmm. issues. Women who felt like they had no sense of self-worth and they felt validated by a guy who would neg them and then later come back and talk to them. But I think we're changing as a society where we are no longer the targets and we are taking ourselves out of the running of shit like that. That's why the pickup community doesn't really exist anymore. So it's a two-way street that it's not just on the guys, the nice guys to change, but also for women to be what we receive as what we think is a good partner.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue though that even if pickup communities don't exist, like the fuckboy epidemic is here, right? That's like all of that is the same situation. It's like preying on like either I have this idea in my head that like I need to work for it with someone, or like I am, you know, kind of accepting these scraps of attention because of whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't think nice guys finish last per se. I actually think if you are someone that's clear on your intentions, you will finish first. Mm-hmm. Maybe not with someone not ready for a relationship. Like if you are someone that is caught up in the fuckboys, the situationships, or just like the general feeling of wanting the passion and excitement, maybe you're just not ready for a relationship. And in that case, that won't be attractive to you, that person.
Yeah. And it's shifting your mindset around what you're really after. What is the success metric here? If the success metric for so many people back in the day was like to sleep with many people as possible, then yeah, you do all the stupid things you do to accomplish that. But most people are dating to fall in love, to be in a relationship. So you wouldn't employ those tactics in the same way.
It also goes into like who's attractive. I think there's been a societal shift, like we've been talking mm-hmm. about. It's back in the day, it's like even if you're looking for a relationship, you're like, I want the guy that slept with all these people because it shows they're yeah. desirable.
Oh, God.
And is that actually like what no. you want? Like, I think it's changing that to be like, that actually doesn't matter in a relationship at all. Someone's past does not matter. Whether it's a lot of people or no one, it really doesn't matter.
The myth we have to dispel here is that nice doesn't equal boring.
Yes.
And maybe even going a step further is boring is not necessarily bad either. We think by someone being consistent and not having that push and pull and not having drama is boring because we feel like there's no chase, there's no courtship. But that may be exactly what you need in a relationship. We just got to redefine what boring is and know that nice falls into nice in the real sense, falls into all the values that we would want in a partner.
Yeah. And I would argue that you could still find the excitement. Like, I think that actually was one of the core things that opened up a connection for me with my partner is that there was mm-hmm. that consistency and I wasn't worried about like all the dating dynamics, but that allowed excitement to build in the connection, yes. which is actually what sets you up for a relationship.
Yeah. If all you have is the push and pull and the excitement, you have no foundation for a relationship. So all you're going to have are exciting moments,
yeah.
but you have no life together.
So maybe it's not getting rid of the excitement. It's just finding a different way to execute that, like go on exciting dates, you know, have exciting conversations, go on exciting getaways. Like there's so many things that can still be exciting in your life that doesn't require fuckboy mentality.
Yeah. Think about building a house. You right. want to have a strong foundation. You want good material so that the house will withstand any tumultuous weather. But once you have the house built, you can start decorating. You can paint the outside. You can drill holes. You can put up mirrors. You can do whatever you want to make it you, to make it exciting. That's like the relationship is we jump to the decorating part, the painting part, without building the bones of a house. And of course, that house is going to tumble.
I'm glad that we brought that up. We're obviously going to go into a lot more depth as we hear Vince's story. And love talking to Vince. He's such a, you know, charismatic and a sweet guy. I will use sweet guy. I think he's a genuine guy. He comes off very genuine, yes. especially for someone that's been on a lot of reality TV. So yeah. he's a diamond in a rough here. Okay. Well, announcements this week at Dateable Podcast. Make sure you're following us there. Make sure to leave that rating and review. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, go back, check it out. F the Fairy Tale. We had the great Damona Hoffman also putting up some clips on Instagram. If you want to see more behind the scenes and just how things are going on recording, a lot of good stuff. So make sure that you're subscribed and leave us a rating and review if you desire. Always helps us so much. Okay, well, before we get into it with Vince, let's hear a message from our sponsors.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Think about it. The thing is, a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Since starting therapy myself, I spent less time ruminating and freed up more time to do the things I love, like tennis. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dateable today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/DATEABLE.
By now, you've probably heard me raving about Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo, and I even caught my partner using it the other day because he smelled like seaweed. Now that's hot, right? You know who else would love Osea? Your mom, or your friends that are moms, or if you're a mom, because being a mom is hard work And I think all moms deserve a spa day this Mother's Day. And what better way to make every day a spa day than with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo? And right now, you can even get an additional 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Treat moms to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off. Okay, let's hear it from Vince.
Yay, we're Vince back, my brother from another mother.
That's right, shoe clan.
Another shoe in the house.
It's nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get the lowdown on what's been going on in your life, just some quick stats. Who is Vince? He's 32, currently lives in Torrance, a new resident of Torrance. He just moved there a week ago, originally from Palos Verdes. Pretty single and have been taking a dating sabbatical. Oof, we want to zoom in to what that means. He's a second-time guest, as we've talked about before, after just appearing on Fuckboy Island. And we weren't going to go into the premise of the show, but I think actually, Vince, if you had to describe Fuckboy Island to someone who's never watched it, what would be your sentence summary?
I mean, it's 24 guys going after three girls, and there's money on the line. And the guys are either nice guys or F-boys. And yeah, and then the girls kind of have to sniff them out and figure out who's who. And then at the end of it, F-boys are able to take all the money and nice guys split. So that's kind of the synopsis, I guess.
Yeah. And in the third season here, I feel like when we saw that you were on F-Boy Island, we were both just like, oh my God. As we had talked to you, you know, after your last reality TV stint on The One That Got Away. And what was going through my mind was like, if Vince is not a nice guy, I've lost hope. Because you came off as the quintessential nice guy last time we talked to you.
Yeah, seriously. The question we're trying to answer on this episode is, do nice guys finish first? And on Fuckboy Island, you were a self-proclaimed nice guy. On The One That Got Away, you were definitely a self-proclaimed nice guy as well. Last time we spoke to you, you had just proposed to Eureka and you were taking a break to figure things out. So kind of connect the dots for us between taking a break to Fuckboy Island. What happened in between there?
Oh my God. Well, after that engagement didn't work out, I took just a big break from just dating in general, just recalibrate a little bit, spend some time alone, worked on myself. I just couldn't really get myself to be emotionally available to date. And I feel like if you're going to the dating world not being emotionally available, then you're kind of not being fair to the people that you're going to end up dating. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I just decided it's probably better for me to just fly under the radar a little bit. It was like basically a year later from the show coming out that I went on F-Boy Island, but the engagement was pretty much already off before the show even came out, right? So we filmed in 2021 and we filmed in the summer. We ended around fall, and then the show came out the next year in summer. And so we were already broken up, but we had kind of got back in touch and we were just talking again and seeing if we could have maybe, you know, give it another try. And we determined that that wasn't going to happen. And so for the rest of that year, I was casually dating, seeing if, you know, anything would stick. I feel like for me, it's like I never really look for a relationship. I just want to meet people. And if someone special comes around that I think, oh, you know, I really want to give this a real try, then it'll just naturally happen. Mm-hmm.
Last time we talked, I remember you saying that you were a serial monogamist. Mm-hmm. And that was why you were just like always in relationships. And, you know, obviously, Fuckboy Island, you still made this conscious decision to go in as a nice guy. Have you always had that nice guy persona? Like, is that something that was, you know, second nature? Or did you have like a deciding decision point to make when you went on F-Boy Island?
It's definitely always just been who I am. I think you can credit my parents for raising me right and, you know, raising me in a very loving environment. I've always had very, I guess, a healthy example for my parents of what a good relationship looks like. Mm. And I guess that just carries over. And because I was always a serial monogamist, I mean, I was in the 9-year relationship, then a 3-year relationship, and then boom, I was on the one that got away. I didn't really get a chance to even be single for very long at all. So I never really got to, I guess, explore what modern dating truly is until after the one I got away was I able to kind of dip my toes in. Oh, this is what dating is like nowadays, especially being in LA. It's very different than my lifestyle was like when I was in a relationship. Mm. But I really grew into myself, really discovered like kind of like a strong sense of self-identity, because before I've always identified myself as part of like a partnership, as part of someone else as well. So being single, being able to kind of just have the freedom to do what I want was one something that I definitely got used to pretty quickly, even though I was in a relationship for so long, but it was something that I didn't know how much I would enjoy. Got to spend a lot of time focusing on myself, on my career, on my new house that I bought.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Just got a lot of things going on, you know, new friends, especially ever since going on reality TV, you just make a million and one friends. So you just have so many things to go to, so many events.
I totally forgot that you were in a 9-year relationship. Have you spoken to her? Like, what is her perspective being in an almost decade-long relationship with you and all of a sudden seeing you on 2 dating reality shows?
Well, I told her about the first one before it came out because I just wanted to let her know. So I had told her about that, but she's married now. And so I haven't talked to her about this show, the second one at all. I haven't been in touch with her, you know, just respecting her and her marriage. We don't really keep up with each other on Instagram or anything like that.
I'm sure she knows.
Maybe.
Exes have a way of finding this stuff out.
I mean, you don't even need to dig. I'm pretty sure she knows.
So you go out FYI. Island, you're obviously like, you know, have to make this decision. Am I a nice guy or F boy? For you, you've always been a nice guy. In your opinion, like, what qualities do nice guys have? What defines a nice guy?
I think a nice guy is just someone who's just going to be a good person at heart that has like, you know, good intentions, isn't going to be going into a date or anything like that with ill intentions, trying to deceive a girl, trying to, I guess, like essentially be a player. I feel like it's not only just in your dating life, but you carry yourself as a nice person in general. The thing is, like, most of these guys, even people that are F-boys, everyone always says, oh, like, I'm an F-boy, but I'm a good person type of thing. It really has to do with your own definition of how you identify what, you know, F-boys and nice guys. So I think everyone has their own definition. I do believe most of the guys that were on the show were good dudes, even though some of them were labeled as F-boys. And I guess it's maybe just how you carry yourself, being genuine, being forthright. I want to go into a room and when people meet me, they feel happy. Mm. Like they feel maybe a sense of calmness and, you know, feeling like they can trust you or they can open up to you. I feel like everyone kind of has like their thing. Like there's some guys that are like, oh, they want to be the mysterious bad boy. And a lot of times when they're off camera, they're just like this dorky dude. And then when they're on camera, they try to be all like a all cool and stuff. And it's really silly to me. For me, I just like want to be who I am on and off camera, which is why I think they ended up wanting to cast me again for this show, is because they're like, okay, on or off camera, I'm the same pretty consistent person. Like I don't really get fazed by the cameras being there. And so because of that, you're going to get very genuine reactions from me.
I think it's funny you say on and off camera because most of our daters, right, are not on reality shows, but I actually think it perfectly equates like when you're on versus off. Mm-hmm. We see people that have like these date personas, and I think that is the same as this on camera in quotes, right? It's like you are now showing this side of you that you think how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to get the girl or whatever.
Yeah, people are always trying to gauge energy. I mean, if you're successful in life, you've learned how to adapt in certain social situations. Small examples are just like when you're texting someone, right? You try to match the length of the text. You don't want to be coming off too much and you don't want to also be too short. You also think like, oh, how many emojis should I add in? Like, is this person a very excited texter or are they trying to play it more cool and more like witty banter type of vibe? Everyone kind of like changes based off of who they talk to. And I feel like if that's the case, it's going to be hard for you to ever be truly who you are. that's a mistake a lot of people make, is they try to adapt too much to what they think other people want them to be, mm-hmm. instead of just leading with, no, this is just who I am. Take it or leave it. If you're not picking up my vibe, if you don't really like my energy, then it's okay. But I feel like everyone tries to be everything too much of the time.
Well, let's keep going with this thought, because I would argue that a nice guy can both be a persona and innately who someone is. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who are persona nice, but may not be innately nice. What do you think about that thought? And what do you think is a distinction between someone acting nice versus actually being nice?
Well, I think, you know, the whole on and off camera thing is like, you can tell when people are like, oh, super nice on camera, but then off camera and behind the scenes, they're kind of not so nice. You notice when people do things for other people and they go out their way for other people and they say things to help uplift other people. If you're really like good at analyzing body language or analyzing social cues, you'll pick up on those things. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to read between the lines. Oftentimes when someone says something bad about someone else, it says more about that person than it does the person they're talking about.
Yes.
But to be fair, it's hard to tell, especially when you're just on these shows and you're there for a month and you're really just getting a quick glance of who these people are, right? We don't really dive too deep on getting to know some of these people sometimes. Some people you get really close with, but a lot of times these people you meet and they try to put on a persona just for that short period of time, because it's easy to fake it for a month or so. But then when you're in a relationship for like a year or so, then it's like, oh, your true colors start to show.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a big difference between being nice and being kind. I think the nice guy, though, sometimes gets a bad rap, even though we all say we want a nice guy.
Yeah.
But there's some stereotypes with a nice guy, like this weak mentality, or they feel like they deserve a girl because they're nice, or just a pushover, or boring, like some of these preconceived notions. Like, have you ever encountered any of these stereotypes? Has that hindered your dating life in any way?
Not really. When you're dating and you know, you meet people, they're not necessarily categorizing you as like a nice guy or F boy. To be honest, like I have a lot of people that say, oh, Vince, you look like an F boy. You kind of give off this F boy vibe. Mm. And I think what people misconstrue nice guys as is like what you just said, maybe boring or pushovers or like people that just aren't attractive to women. You know, they just get friend zoned or something like that. I think the key thing is, as a nice guy or as anybody, there needs to be a push pull type of thing in the relationship when you first meet somebody. If there's no attraction or like sexual tension, then it's like, okay, you put them in the friend zone category. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to be able to establish that kind of push-pull energy in the beginning. You build that attraction, you build that chase, that allure. And then once you're kind of at the point where there is something going on here, there's like a relationship building. That's when a lot of the quintessential nice guy traits really come into play. Mm-hmm. You start seeing, oh my, he's such a gentleman. He's like opening the doors for me. Oh, he's planning trips. He's like taking the next step, like all this effort to be able to, you know, court me. But oftentimes I think nice guys or people just make the mistake that they start putting all this effort in too early. And when you do that, oftentimes that imbalances that whole push-pull. Mm. You don't want to be that person that's just going 90 and they're going 10%. Like, you need to have that push-pull to keep them invested as well, because the other person should also be trying to court you. I think so many people are so caught up with, I need to be interesting, I need to impress them, without taking a step back and being like, you know, instead of trying to be so interesting, why don't you become more interested?
Yeah.
Interested in that person and let them court you and let them impress you. So there needs to be a level of that push-pull to build that attraction. But once that is established and that foundation is established, then those quintessential nice guy traits that people really think of, those start to thrive and those are highlighted.
Yeah.
It just sounds like you can't just be a nice guy.
Yeah.
That can't be your only thing you have going for you. You have to be a nice guy with conviction, with integrity. There are other aspects of being a well-rounded person. And I think I've had some guy friends who have labeled themselves as the quintessential nice guy. And they will say stuff like, I'm so nice to her, she's being such a bitch back. And I'm like, a real nice guy wouldn't say that, because that's this like entitlement mentality. It's like, if I'm nice to you, then you should want to be with me, or I should have won you over. If it's that mentality, then you're not being a nice guy. You're being a petty guy. So yeah, like again, I think like you said in the beginning, Vince, everybody has a different definition of what nice is. But if you feel like it's just so authentic to who you are, you never have to choose to be nice. You are just nice.
Exactly.
You also don't want nice to be like your only defining characteristic. Like, I think it should be definitely at the top, but like, I think where this stereo comes in is like, if there's no other way you can describe this person other than nice, maybe that's when, you know, the weak stereotype or boring comes in. But what I'm getting from you, Vince, instead of being like, are you a nice guy or an F boy? It's like, it's a nice and, like, that can't be the only bit.
Yeah.
100%. You know, people ask you like, oh, what do you think of this person? If you say, oh, they're nice, that's almost like the last thing that you can think.
It's an insult. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not interesting. There's nothing that stood out to them that made them, you know, more of a character to you in your mind. But it's like when it's binary like that, like F boy or nice guy, I feel like that's when it's like, you know, two extremes. It's like, okay, like nobody should be just one thing. Like everyone should kind of fall somewhere in the middle.
Right. And I think like when we came off the last podcast with you, we weren't like, Vince is a nice guy. Like that wasn't how we described you. But when it was the binary, we're like, obviously, I hope he's in the nice guy category, you know?
We're also guilty for this too on the receiving end. Is like, I ask my girlfriends, I want to set you up with someone. What kind of person are you looking for? And the first thing everyone says is nice. I just want someone nice. I'm like, you can't just say nice. It can't just be that.
Yeah, no, I think if they're at that point where you need to set them up, they're jaded, they've been heartbroken, they're just like, oh, like all my exes are all such F-boys because in their mind, they've already categorized them as F-boys because it didn't work out with them.
True.
And they found out, you know, all the reasons why. And then they're just like, I just want a nice guy. That's just going to be stable.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's nice.
Well, to me, like when you said that, UA, like makes it feels like this person's just like burnt. They have just been through the ringer. They're just like, I want kind of like the bare minimum. I just want someone nice. But
I know. Isn't that true? It's like nice should just be the bare minimum.
It should be the baseline. Yeah, it should,
it should be the baseline.
You know what's interesting though? Like the whole like nice spectrum, I think the F-boy has one too. Like it's not so, like you said, Vince, like people are like, oh, I got screwed over by my ex. They were an F-boy. We hear this all the time too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're just figuring it out also. Like sometimes they're not going in with the intention to screw you over. Like they're just trying to date and see if there's a good match. A good fit for them. I think we're so quick to like throw labels each direction and try to like solve the mystery.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, it's not just guys. Girls, like you guys are guilty of it too. And there's F girls out there and there's nice girls. So it's like
100%.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of times guys become F boys based off their environment.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's just what they're around. And that's what the dating scene's like, you know, especially in like real LA, like Hollywood, people out there that are dating and everyone's all about being a model and being an actor and, you know, and it's very like surface, super surface.
Yeah.
And you encounter a lot of F girls there and you could be a nice guy that's gotten his heart broken and it's like, oh, now I just want to be an F boy and like, you know, not be so invested. You know what I mean?
Well, circling back to our original question, do nice guys finish first and can nice guys finish first? When you signed up for F Boy Island, was this your thought process that you were like, I want to prove that nice guys can finish first, which you did, by the way.
Not at all. I honestly, first of all, I didn't really like ever think I'd be on F Boy Island. The producers reached out to me and wanted me on here. And then I was like, okay, sounds like it'll be a fun couple weeks. Hopefully, maybe I'll make it a week and I'd make some cool guy friends. I'd, you know, have like an all-inclusive experience like I did the first time around. It was the same producers as my first show. So I trusted them.
Oh, okay.
And it was at the same location if you guys didn't notice.
No, we did not notice. Okay.
For me, I just thought, okay, I trusted the producers. They said, look, we think you would do really well on this show and you would have fun. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like I made some really great friends. You guys know Casey from my first show. We became like best friends.
You're like in every post with her.
Yeah, no, we're best friends and we're legitimately took on LA together this whole past like couple years. And we've made a million and one friends together going to all these parties and events. And it's just been amazing. And I'm like, oh, I get a chance to, you know, create some awesome friends again from this experience. Because I mean, look, I'm 32, like college is a long way ago. And like being in these type of summer camp type of things and actually being able to meet new people, it's, you know, very, very rare type of opportunity. So I was like, you know what, let's run it back. Let's see. Did I think I was going to win? Hell no. I didn't even think I was going to go far. I really didn't. And then once I got there, I was like, oh shit, never mind. We're here to stay.
So clearly, like, you wanted to go just because it was a cool experience, but there's probably something at least driving that you decided. You alluded earlier that, like, if you're a fuckboy, you basically could take all the cash at the end, but if you're a nice guy, you have to split it. So what drove you to still go in under this nice guy mentality? Like, were you looking for love at all, or was it more just, you know, I'm just scared for the experience?
I'm gonna be honest, I totally forgot that there was even money on the line. I didn't even know until I was there. And then, like, even when I was there, I didn't really even think about it, to be honest.
Okay.
I was just wanting to see, like, okay, like, would I connect with any of the girls? Before I agreed to go on the show, I actually asked the producers, are the girls local? Because I can't do a long distance situation.
Because Eureka moved to New York.
Exactly. Yeah. Eureka was in New York, and we've been long distance since the beginning. Even before New York, she was in San Francisco, which was still, like, you know, long distance from me. So,
right. Still not local. Yeah.
It's not realistic to think that it would be able to last if we weren't able to build a foundation in person. You know, so that was the first question I asked. And it's funny, the producer was like, you know what? No one has ever asked us that.
They're not thinking long term.
That's amazing.
They're like, wow, Vince, you're really thinking about this.
They're like, you're a nice guy. Get into that bucket.
Exactly.
Okay, so clearly you were not there for the cash. I guess, like, when they say, like, F-boy or nice guy, I'm just going to infer a little. Like, clearly all your life you've been more on this, like, nice camps. It was kind of a no-brainer. Is that what you would say? Or?
Yeah, didn't even think about it. It wasn't even topic of conversation. It was like, okay, yeah, I already know what I'm going in as. And
yep.
That was that. But the funny thing is, it's like, as the show kept on going on, right, episode by episode, there was a point where before the reveal, when we had to announce if we're nice guy or F-boy, I got so many DMs and comments. They're like, Vince, if you're an F-boy, I'm not going to believe in love. Like,
I said that to my partner. I was like, if Vince reveals himself as an F-boy, like, this is over. I can't.
I felt so much pressure, and I was like, wait, thank God I'm a nice guy. But, like, guys, like, relax.
Well, I think the reason why is because you noticeably were different than, I would say, even the other nice guys. Like, you wore your heart on your sleeve. Like, I feel like you were just, you know, there, and it felt like you were really invested in Katie, who was the former bachelorette or bachelor contestant.
Both, actually.
That was, like, the girl that you saw that you ended up kind of vying for and eventually, you know, winning her affection back. But, like, I feel like you just had this demeanor that was so different than others, and, like, a lot of the guys gave you shit for it. Mm-hmm. In your words, I guess, like, how do you think that all played out?
So F-Boy Island is a very different show than the one that got away. And what you kind of have to realize is F-Boy Island, it makes fun of shows that are, like, actually trying to find love. It makes fun of it, right? So me being the hopeless romantic that I am, going on the show and actually trying to find love, like, they're gonna give me shit for it. And so I knew for sure that I was gonna happen. But I think it's really funny because, like, even me and Katie had briefly touched on, like, how are they going to make it look close? How are they going to make it look like it's close between me and Benedict? Because it really wasn't. Mm. And then, lo and behold.
Can you explain that? Why was it not even close?
Came a point where I knew. Like, when I said game over, I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Like, I knew it was game over at that point. And there was just so many conversations that didn't get shown. Like, all of the best conversations didn't get shown, which is such a shame. And, okay, they're not going to show the romance side of this relationship, at least make it funny. And so I think a lot of the connection was sacrificed for them trying to make the show, you know, more lighthearted and comedic.
I see.
Because there was honestly nothing very lighthearted about my relationship with Katie when we were there. Just have such a strong connection. And for the producers, you know, for them, like, they're editing the show, they have to make it look like, okay, this is a close game. They can't be showing, like, Katie saying it's already game over, you know, like, they can't show that. So they have to make it seem like it's anyone's game.
Right.
That's the frustrating part, because you can see me pouring my heart out, but you don't really see it reciprocated until the very end, which you only get, like, 2 minutes of it because, you know, we're on live TV and everything's cut to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So everything was cut up so much. So it's like people were even saying, like, oh, Vince, like, you're a love bomber. Like, you dropped the L word so early on and stuff. And it's like, man, if only you guys could see, like, all the conversations we had and, like, everything leading up to it, because everything felt rushed.
Yeah. Okay.
And for me, even I was like, I probably shouldn't say this is early, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know how they're going to cut it up. If they're going to make it seem so abrupt, or is it going to be able to make sense to the viewer that's like, okay, no, we see this progression, but given the timeline and given them having to make the show seem close and everything, like, they decided to edit the way they did.
I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts. Just to give our listeners some background, how long did it take to film this show? A month, you said?
Yeah.
Just about. And then the one that got away, how long was that?
I think that was almost like 6 weeks.
Okay, so that was a little bit longer. But at the end of both of those shows, you did say the L word to two women.
Yeah.
And that's how it progressed. And it was kind of a big deal for F-Boy Island because, like you said, this is a very different show than the one that got away. What was the moment that you knew that you fell in love? And were you hesitant to say that on national television?
Oh, I was so hesitant. We were filming for like an hour that day. You could just tell all the nervous energy. And it's like, they just kept on filming because they wanted it to happen. Like looking back at it, there's like this creator who did like a reel about like the levels of love. You're supposed to say like, oh, I'm falling for you. And then you're supposed to build up to like, you know what? I think I'm falling in love. And then you build up to the whole I love you thing. And there's like love levels apparently. And I get that. But I'm also like, oh, that's just so cliche. I feel like that's literally every other dating show. And part of me was just like, Vince, if you're gonna say it, just fucking say it.
Wow.
I was just also in the mindset when I was there, I was like, don't be afraid to just say how you feel, and who cares how everyone else reacts. If you notice, like, I don't say a single bad word about anybody. And they wanted me to, trust me. They wanted me to like bad mouth other people. I just refused. I wouldn't. And so it's like, I'm watching all these, you know, interviews of people like trying to like talk smack. And I'm just like, oh, that's funny. Like they're actually saying all these things. But at the same time, I get it. Like I had a target on my back since day one. Everyone knew I was in the lead. Everyone tried to take me out from the get-go. I just knew like if I just focused on my relationship with Katie and not get so distracted by what all the guys are doing, I'll be fine.
So what was it about your connection? Like, why do you think it just happened so quickly for both of you?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. It's funny because I had seen Katie before this show. Okay, we filmed this show in July of this past year. I saw her in November, I guess 2 years ago, at a reality TV event. And I remember I was with Casey and I was like, Casey, who's that? Who's that girl? And she was like, oh, that's girl from Bachelorette. I was like, oh my God. Like,
oh, okay.
There was just something about her, like her energy and her aura. I was like, she's really pretty. And I remember I locked eyes with her, I think for like 2 seconds. And like I looked away because I was just like, oh shit.
Oh.
And there's just something about her that captivated me. And I remember looking her Instagram up like the next day and saw this like reel that she posted. She was like going to a reality TV event with all these reality TV guys as a single girl. And I was like, oh, she's single. I was like, man, I wonder if I'll ever run into her again. Fast forward 2 months, I'm in San Diego and I'm getting ramen with some friends after a New Year's event. And I see her outside of a ramen restaurant. And I'm like, oh my God.
What?
I was like, what are the odds? But she's with this guy that she had met at a reality TV event. That was that. Because I saw her talking to a guy. So I was like, oh, I can't really say anything to her. She's with this guy. And I remember telling myself, the next time I see her and she's not with a guy, I'm going to talk to her. And lo and behold, it was on F-Boy Island.
And boom.
Okay. So there was some buildup. So you were already feel like this.
There was buildup. So I told her all that when we first met and she was laughing. She was like, oh my God, what are the odds? And the thing is, she had watched my show as well.
Okay.
I never watched The Bachelorette, but I knew of her on The Bachelorette based off Casey. And I saw her like some advertisements and stuff and some random clips on Instagram. But she had watched, I guess, part of my first season. So she already knew about me as well.
Okay. So there's like familiarity on both parts already.
There's familiarity. We both were engaged on our past reality show too, and it didn't work out. So that's a very strong thing to bond over. And so we just instantly kind of just had that spark, that connection. Mm-hmm. It built so fast. I wish there were certain conversations that they would have shown, because, you know, we just started discovering so many things about each other. Like, she's huge on beach volleyball. That's what I do every single weekend. It's like, I play beach volleyball. That's my lifestyle. Like, we have a very similar lifestyle that we both lead. And I don't know, just like so many things about each other that it just felt so right. The feelings were just building so fast. And the thing about this show is we literally had time with them almost like every single night that we were filming, because it would be dates, you know, other people will have individual dates and stuff. And then at nighttime, it'd be mixer. After mixer, it'd be elimination. And the mixer would be basically free for all. You know, everyone can go talk to, you know, whoever, and you can pull the girls, and, you know, you would get like uninterrupted time for like 20, 30 minutes. And this is like more time than I had on my first show with Eureka.
Yeah.
With Eureka, there would be, I would go days without seeing her. And here, like, I was seeing her like pretty much every night, it felt like. So I mean, there's just so many conversations that were filmed that we had that, you know, more so than my first show, that just didn't show up. So it was really hard to gauge on how they were going to edit it, because they just had so much content. And yeah, all of the relationship building conversations just kind of got left out.
I mean, that's a good point too, that it's a month, but you're seeing each other like 24/7. So it's not like normal dating when you see someone like once a week for a month, right? It's very different context.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still think the most interesting part of this show for me, because I'm really glad that I got like the background, because that's not how it looked when you were watching it. It looked like you and Benedict were neck and neck. And like, for background of anyone that didn't watch this show, he was on it last season and he was a nice guy last season. He got to the final. And the girl ended up not picking him because she wanted someone that was more like adventurous, and she liked the antics of a fuckboy, and he ended up like losing because he was the nice guy. So this time around, he switched and he ended up being the fuckboy. And that was a huge turnoff to Katie. What do you think it was? I mean, obviously you're not Katie, but like, what do you think it was about what she was looking for that drew her to someone like you and being turned off by a fuckboy versus like the other girl that was like drawn to the F-boy?
I mean, I think the thing about Benedict, he's not a fuckboy. He's a nice guy. Everyone knows that. Everyone on the cast knew that. And, you know, he came in with this label and he kind of had to lean into it a little bit. Mm. I think Katie, I felt like she also knew deep in her heart that he was a nice guy.
Okay.
Despite having the F-boy label. And I even told her, I was like, look, I don't want you to choose me by default. I don't want you to choose me because I'm a nice guy and he's an F-boy. Like, that's not how I want this to go. Like, I want this to be real. And yeah, I genuinely don't believe that she didn't choose him because he's an F-boy. That was never the question. I knew early on, despite, you know, he was being an F-boy, that I was going to likely win. And then I confirmed it with Katie too, like she told me. And for Benedict, I gave the analogy, like, I felt like I was going into a championship game and the best player on the other team is injured now. And it's like, I didn't need that advantage. I didn't need to be the nice guy versus the F-boy and all of a sudden, you know, be in the lead. Like, I didn't need that at all. Like, it probably would have been better TV if I was the F-boy and he was a nice guy, to be honest, at that point. But I didn't really care about the labels at all. To me, it didn't really matter. But I don't know. Like, I think Katie, like, on the show, like, it made it seem like she was very much like, oh, you're an F-boy. Like, that's a big problem. Which, you know, I'm sure it was. But I think deep down, like, after she'd gotten to know him, you know, I don't think she truly believed he was an F-boy. I don't think she didn't choose him because she thought he was going to take the money or anything like that. They all knew there was no way he was going to take the money.
If I were to rename that show, it would just be like Authentic Island or whatever. Like, to me, it's like, yes, you're nice, Vince. That's easy. But I think you're just really authentic. And in dating, this is just such a parallel to dating, is that a lot of times we get wrapped up in the noise. It's like, am I the nice guy? Am I the cool girl? Am I, you know, you like try to have a label, but you just focus on your connection with Katie and you didn't give a fuck all the other noise that was surrounding you. You're just deepening that connection. And I wish we could learn that in dating. It's not about being nice. It's just about focusing on the connection you have at hand. So when you were getting the flack from all the guys talking about you behind your back, you said you had a target on your back from day one. How were you able to shoo all that noise out?
Well, I didn't hear it all. Like, no one ever talked shit in front of my face. I definitely knew some people were coming after me, right? Like, there was like the scene where Marco tried to like come up with a scheme to tell Katie that I said game over and all that. Like, you know, that was like one example of them trying to like come after me that they actually showed. And to me, I just laugh about it. I'm just like, whatever you guys want to do and like try to talk shit and try to sabotage me, it's actually just going to make you look worse.
Right.
I'm totally fine with you guys bad-mouthing me in the sense that, like, if you're trying to get under my skin, it's not going to. But I think eventually everyone just wanted to be friends with each other. Like, everyone wanted to create a friendly environment where, you know, most of the time, all the guys are together and we spend the most time with each other. So all of us are, you know, throwing it up, throwing the football around the pool and just like tanning and playing poker. And like, you know, we're just being guys. And to be honest, we definitely spend way more time with each other than we did with the girls. So that was just kind of like the main thing for me, why I even came. And I made some great connections, some lifetime friends that I think all the smack talk, I told everyone from the very beginning too. We all sat down. I was like, look, whatever happens on this show, no grudges, nothing. Like, this is a brotherhood. At the end of this, we're all going to be brothers.
That's nice in itself that you said that. I feel like other guys wouldn't say that.
That's just my mentality. I'm like, look, you guys make good TV. The thing is, like, I've been on a TV show before, so I have that experience, I have that insight. I'm like, if you want to make a good reality show, there needs to be drama. There needs to be people talking shit. Like, you can't be super nice. If you have everyone's super nice and don't want to step on each other's toes, then you're going to have a boring show. Like, we're there to make a TV show, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know for me, I'm not going to be the guy starting shit. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be talking shit. Someone's going to have to. Yeah. So that's why I told him. I was like, look, I know some people here. And I was looking at, you know, certain guys I knew were going to be the pot stirrers. I was like, do it. If you're going to do it, just do it hard. Lean into it.
Right.
And, you know, don't worry. You know, most of this stuff is all exaggerated. The way they're going to edit is all exaggerated. It's fine. If it's a better show for everyone to watch, then just go for it, man. And like, don't worry about my feelings.
But you were also able to recognize, like, you're not going to be that person.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be that guy.
So what happened with Katie now that the show is over? You guys have this riveting connection on the show. We clearly said that you were taking a dating sabbatical. So what's going on current day?
Oh, can I just take a deep breath before you answer? Okay, I think I'm ready.
Wait, I'm curious. Are you guys very heavily invested in my relationship with Katie?
I mean, I want to believe that you were in love. I believed you were in love with Eureka. And I think for environmental factors, that didn't work out. But I want to believe if you say you love someone, you love them.
Yeah.
So I believe in that connection.
Yeah. With Katie, it was very strong. And the thing is, having done it before, I just know how hard it is to transition from reality relationships into the real world. Despite like how much you can try, it's just really hard to be on the same page. There's this like underlying feeling or like shadow that's going to be over you all the time. It's like, are you together because of the show? Like, everything you said authentic, was it all real? Was it for the show? Do you want to stay together because of the show? Like, there's so many things that it's really hard for a new fledgling like relationship to thrive under. I remember when I was in the overnight or at the finale, right when we're all over, and I stayed the night with Katie, and we were just like, you know, we're cuddling in bed and we were like so thrilled and so obsessed with each other. And I just remember feeling like I want to just savor and relish this moment, because no matter what happens, at least we've had such an amazing time together. And I will always treasure that moment, no matter how south it goes later on, because it's the wild, wild west once you enter the real world. And so fast forward, you know, we tried to make it work. We went on dates. We saw each other. We tried to, you know, see this through. But yeah, it just didn't work out. I guess that spark, that chemistry just wasn't the same. Mm. And to be honest, it's really hard to go from being obsessed with each other, having such strong chemistry on the show, and expecting that spark to stay that way. You know, it's going to shift. It's going to change. It's whether or not you have the level of communication with each other to be able to rise that wave.
Yeah.
And that's very hard, because it does take two people that are equally very invested and equally want to communicate and have that level of trust and comfort with each other to communicate. And it's hard because not only is the relationship going through that, but individually for me, whenever I come back from a reality show, I'm not even me. I'm a whole different person.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to go back to my job as a lawyer. Like, one, I don't even know how to text her. This whole time I've met her, I've never even texted her once.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't even know how frequently we should be texting. And now I'm like busy trying to transition back into my job. And I have a million and one things that are lined up in my email. I'm trying to tackle that. And I'm still, my mind is not even present. It's like still in Calamigos Ranch. And so it's like, I'm not even who I am yet. I still need to adjust, let alone this relationship needs to adjust too. So it's like, there needs to be some type of cooling off period.
Yes.
I feel like when you come off of these shows, you should have your own time and just like cool off maybe for like a few months and then try to talk and still try to like court each other in the real world and take it step by step, like starting over. Cause that was also the weird thing. We're like obsessed with each other, like off the show. And then now it's like, okay, you have to start over. You have to be like, hey, can I take you out on a date? You got to start from step one and then build it up to a point where, oh, I'm comfortable now. It's been date five. Like, do you want to come over to my place? And, you know, you want to check out my place and see how I live? Like, do you want to watch a movie here and get comfortable in their environment? Mm. If you jump those steps, things just get really thrown off. People are just not on the same page and the comfort level is not there. And you're like, why do I not feel comfortable in this situation when I felt so comfortable on the show? It just all doesn't make sense. It's such a mess.
Did you feel like both of you were kind of on the same page with this? Like, or was one person more like, this isn't what it was on F-Boy Island?
I feel like we have different ways of viewing dating. She had told me that she had a lot of like 2 month relationships, you know, she just goes through. And then, you know, for me, I've never even had that. Like, mine is like 9 years and then 3 years and now I'm suddenly engaged, you know. It's like, I'm the type of person that if something's not feeling right, let's talk about it and see how we can change and how can we grow together.
Right.
My thing is like, I never think like, oh, maybe we should end this. Maybe we should separate. If I really feel like, you know, we are good for each other and there's this good connection here, maybe just the feelings are not quite there as we wanted to. That just means that there's a level of communication that we're not there yet. And we should build onto that. We should try to grow and learn and have these honest conversations. And I don't think we were necessarily on the same page on that, but that's just how it is. Not everyone's perspective on dating lines up.
Well, you can have chemistry, but not long-term compatibility. You know, it's not always one and the same.
There you go. And I also think like you can have the spark, but the spark, you know, is going to shift. It's going to change. And you just kind of have to learn how to evolve with it. Because there could have been a world where, you know, we come off the show and the spark could have felt the same. You know, the way that we quarter each other and stuff, like it could have been different. There's a lot of things that, you know, you could redo or, you know, you could look back on. Everything definitely has happened for a reason. You know, I think me and her, we crossed paths for a reason from the beginning. And then I think I met her on F-Boy Island for a reason. I don't know. I don't know what all that entails just yet. But, you know, I know she is dating some other guy now. And I'm happy for her. I genuinely think what we had was really special. We tried our best and we really gave it a shot at the time of, you know, the versions of who we were coming off of the show.
That's such a fantastic way of looking at it, because it's not about the longevity of your relationship, but about the quality of it. And some relationships only thrive in certain environments. And I would say reality TV is one of those cases. It's like summer camp. You are focused only on each other during this short amount of time. And you have one job, which is to fall in love.
Yeah.
Then you come back in the real world and then you realize you have other things that you have to do. You have pursuits, you have a job, family, friends, and some relationships just don't thrive in a real world environment. But as long as you can appreciate even the 1 month relationship you had, we always say this to our listeners, even if you had a fling,
yeah,
if it was like the best fucking fling of your life, it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be with that person forever. Like, really cherish that time you have with someone.
1000%. And so even though ours, you know, our relationship didn't really last so long, like I truly, really cherished what we did have. And I think we made the most of it for, you know, the short amount of time that we were in each other's lives in that capacity.
I think like even just what you said of just like, I wish her well, like not saying anything bad and just truly being happy for her does show your character at the end of the day. And, you know, we've established on this podcast, being nice is not the only characteristic, but like, I guess to wrap things up, like what advice would you give for daters out there to, you know, start looking at people a little more holistically and then also see like how nice can be sexy?
Yeah. Be 100% you. Like, don't try to be a persona that you think that other person wants you to be. Step outside of the norm.
Yes.
People just like, you know, text each other and everyone's too afraid to like be too committal. Ask her to FaceTime, like just jump into it, get to know them and be real, like be silly, be goofy. You don't always have to lead necessarily with like full on sexual tension as your intent. You know what I mean? A lot of people like that's like their first frame of mind is like, oh, how can I come off and be a tease and be like, you know, build this energy? I think that will come if you are being yourself fully.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it might not be with every single girl. And that's the problem. Like a lot of these guys are like, I want this girl. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to like this girl. It's like, no, you know, I'm not for everybody. Like you need to find your person and that person will match that energy. And that should just be natural. And the sooner that you're able to emit your natural energy and your authentic energy, the sooner you'll be able to attract that perfect energy for you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the problem. Everyone's trying to come off a certain way and then they attract people that aren't aligning with who they are.
Yep.
And that's the reason why everyone's like not really finding love or finding something real. I think people are just trying to keep things surface and flirtatious and fun and, you know, and everyone's just casually dating and you don't really get to that next step because you were never really yourself to begin with.
Yeah. No, I mean, 100% on everything that you just said. I think that's a good segue to takeaways, but like my biggest takeaway from what you were saying plays off that exactly. It's like the reason why you were able to, you know, quote unquote, get ahead is because you were just yourself and you led with connection. Like you weren't trying to like fill this persona where maybe some other people on the island were doing that more.
Yeah.
And I think nice guys, you know, the whole nice guys, do they finish last or first? It depends how wrapped up you get into that stereotype probably. And if you're just saying, I'm a good person, I'm a kind person, and, you know, I'm going to lead with my heart and just put myself out there and see if we're a good connection, that's when you get ahead. But when you like get into the whole like mentality of just like putting on a new face, like you were saying, that's when people get stifled. I think everyone has a little bit of F boy and nice guy or F girl and nice girl in them. Like I think these labels like actually don't really serve anyone. It's more about, is this person being authentic and real? And does that match my energy? Mm-hmm. Like someone like quote unquote, like F boy tendencies, like maybe some of those don't mean that they're a terrible person, but they do jive better with your personality. Like you were saying about Benedict having this label, like the labels are getting in our way too. Like how do we just see people for people? And of course, if the person's terrible to you and screws you over, then that's just not someone you want to be with, whether they have an F boy label or not.
Absolutely.
We all have a choice in who we want to be. And you can make that choice based on your previous disappointments and say, I want to be a fuckboy because I've been screwed over so many times. Or you can choose to be a good human being because you truly admire the characteristics of a good human being. Mm-hmm. So that's a choice we can ultimately make. And I think the question of do nice guys finish last or do they finish first? If you're true to yourself, you're always going to finish first. You may not get the girl or you may not get the guy, but you got what you went out to look for. You did your best. You made a strong connection. And even though that connection didn't last, you have those memories forever. And that to me is finishing first because you did everything in line with who you are, Vince. And I think for anybody who's struggling with that too, it's like, am I going to choose to be the nice one or should I play these games? Well, ultimately, it's like, what is true to you and what is admirable for you to be, choose that and then fuck everything else. Fuck the noise. None of that really matters.
Absolutely. I think, and it's easier said than done. It's like being consistent, looking inward and knowing yourself well enough to be ready to date. Because a lot of times, like, yeah, you get heartbroken. Now it's like, I want to be an F boy. I'm numb. You know, I'm jaded. Those are the turning points in your life where you have to look inward and say, like, is that who I am truly?
Yep.
Or am I just troubled right now? Am I just going through something? And am I going to let that out on other people? That creates a domino effect. Next person you date, now you're going to be toxic to them.
Exactly.
And then they're going to get hurt. And then now they're thinking the same thing. And it just creates this cyclical problem. And I feel like that's very common in a city like LA, when you have, you know, dating apps and everyone's just dating all the time and, you know, people don't take breaks to go on a little sabbatical and know when they're ready or not, because it takes a lot of ownership and a lot of inner work to be able to get to that point to know when it's good or when it's not. And if you're not emitting the energy that you want to, the energy that's genuine to you, then you shouldn't be out there emitting any energy whatsoever. You know, find yourself, get ready, get yourself ready and get to that point where you can actually date with an open heart and date with that shows who you truly are. apart. And so that's the hard part, because most people, they get heartbroken, boom, now let's go on a tear, let's be an F-boy. And, you know, especially if you're a good looking person, you have charisma, like you have that option. So it takes a lot of ownership on yourself to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right. So when are we going to see you on Love is Blind? I feel like that's a natural progression. Third time's a charm.
Oh my God. If I had a nickel for every time someone told me that, you're like, when's the next one? I don't know. I don't know. Having two reality relationships now, and I've literally had only two real relationships in the real world, right? 9 year, 3 year. And now I have engagement with Eureka and now with Katie. So I've like had the same amount of real relationships if I had, you know, reality relationships. You know, they were fun. Like, don't get me wrong. It's fun. And I did not expect to fall for someone on F-Boy Island. I don't know if I would wish that on my worst enemies. You know, that's just like genuinely falling for someone on a dating show. It just takes so much. And you lose yourself. You lose yourself in the moment because, you know, when you're on TV, when you're being filmed, right? Everyone's mindful. Everyone's like, I want to look good. I want to look a certain way. But when you genuinely fall for someone, you just say, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care how I look. I'm just going to say how I feel. Because at the end of the day, all I have is this moment with her.
Yes.
And, you know, however you edit, however all that happens, I'm not even thinking about any of that. I'm just being me. So it's scary. It's scary putting your heart on the line for everyone to watch. It takes a lot of mental, emotional fortitude to watch it all play out again, especially when it doesn't work out. Yeah.
Well, we promise we give a raw and real look into Vince. We do not do crazy editing. So you never know who's listening right now and who's resonating with this. Is there anywhere that like people can find you? Like, what's Instagram or anything else that you want to share?
Yeah, just find me on Instagram. Just my name, Vince Hsu. I'm on TikTok and other platforms too, but I'm not as active. To be honest, I'm not super active on social media in general. I do think I stay relatively private. I mean, you guys have been following me for the whole time since my first show. Like, I feel like you guys can probably confirm that. I'm not like a huge like social media clout kind of guy, which is funny because like on the show, everyone's like, oh, Vince is on here for clout.
Right? You're like, no, I'm not. Just... I'm on here for love. Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely not trying to get like social media famous like most of the people that go on reality shows.
We also established that you want LA locals, so you never know. Never know who's out and about it. If we get any emails, we'll send them your way.
LA's huge. Maybe we'll even go down to the OC, San Diego.
That might be too long distance.
We have a huge vicinity of people to cover. Anyway, well, thank you so much for coming back for the second time and for giving us the news on what happened with you and Katie. I was just really, that was gratifying to hear from you, because we've been making a lot of guesses between the two of us.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of podcasts and people have reached out and I've literally declined a lot of them. And I decided to go on this one because I like talking to you guys and we had a good time the first time around. And I was like, you know what? Like, these girls are cool. Like, I'm comfortable talking about it with you guys. So this is actually, I think, my first podcast since for F-Boy Island. So here it is.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Breaking news.
And when we messaged you and you responded like immediately, and you were like, let's fucking do it. We're like, amazing.
Yeah, because I think we're already friends. We're like, we follow each other. So you guys came up in my like my normal inbox.
Hell yeah. You heard it here first.
Yes.
It's the shoe bond. I get it.
It is a shoe bond. Yes. Yeah.
Let's go.
Bloodline to thank for that. Cool. Awesome. Thanks so much. And we believe in you. We believe in love and you believe in love. So everything's going to work in your favor. We are very confident in that. Okay. We're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much to Vince. Thank you so much to our listeners. And thank you, reality TV gods, for creating all this great content that we can talk about over and over again. If you love this episode, if you love the news that Vince just dropped, why don't you leave us a rating or review in Apple Podcasts? Give us a wow emoji, or maybe you're surprised by the ending. Write a little something and give us 5 stars and we'll relay that to Vince. You'll have a direct line from us to Vince. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast and visit datablepodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay dateable.